Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Maddalena Ciobanu. Today we'll be looking at how publishers are reaching global audiences and why this is important. The digital news report published by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism earlier this month revealed some interesting insights into how people are currently consuming news. Perhaps the most unsurprising of them was that 46% of people across all countries surveyed now access news weekly on their smartphones, and this number is only likely to increase. But the study also showed a battle between publishers to reach audiences on a global scale, as the internet has made news distribution easier around the world. Since its launch in 2012, US-based Quartz has managed to attract more than 5 million readers and launched two international editions of its website, in India and Africa. Editor-at-large Bobby Ghosh said Quartz's aim since the beginning was to be an international publication and not just think of international markets as a way of bringing in additional revenue and readers.
One of the great things about being in a new media company is that we're not burdened by these old-fashioned ideas. And Quartz, I'm happy to say, this happened before I joined, was created from the get-go to be a very international publication rather than an American publication that has some international presence. So what you might call expansion for us is always sort of just a logical extension of our business model. And both India and Africa are fairly logical as places for us to be. India, because there is a very large English language speaking readership and a thriving economy, which is a combination that is great for us, both as a business proposition, but also as a journalistic proposition, because there are lots of great stories to be told from India, and there is a English reading audience that wants to read those stories. Exactly the same thing is happening in Africa. Africa is a continent rather than a country, but it now has, I don't know, 7 of the 10 fastest growing economies, or 8 of the 10 fastest growing economies of the world are in Africa. It is already well established that Africa is a continent on a growth curve, and there is a very large English reading population on the continent who are interested in reading about their own growth, but also how that impacts global issues and how global issues impact them.
Quartz has a great focus on mobile, and the content it produces is designed to be read and shared on smartphones, but people access it differently according to the time of day and their location. When readers from India or Africa access Quartz, they are automatically directed to their specific edition and see country-specific obsessions, which are the different topics that Quartz organizes coverage around.
I think we are dedicated to the idea of looking at the world through the prism of the new global economy, the global economy that is powered by digital tools, by technology, by communications. And that worldview is shot through all of our stories. Our stories come from that perspective. We've always, even before we launched India and before we launched Africa, we had substantial readership from outside the US, anywhere between 40 and 50%, depending on the month. And also, even within the US, a lot of what we would consider international stories get a lot of readers from the domestic market. So that, for us, it helped justify, it helped endorse our view of the world as a global place, rather than as a collection of countries. And I think that is what readers respond to. I think in emerging markets, when you realize and when you feel in your daily life that your country, your economy, your household, your job, your politics, all of these things are connected to the global economy, then you want to know more about that global economy. But you don't want to know about it from the point of view of an American economist or a British journalist or a French commentator. You want to understand it from a point of view that is relevant to you.
Some of the stories Quartz has published as part of the India edition include an article on Bangalore rickshaw drivers whose fuel costs were rising as a result of a recent polar vortex phenomenon in the US, but also the tale of a Mumbai entrepreneur who invented the world's best pizza delivery box. But what Quartz aims to do is establish an identity that people can recognize at all times.
It's not a question of individual stories, but a collective a collection of stories. So I think what we've reached a point in India now, in Africa, we're not even fully a month old. In India, we've reached a point where we have an identity where people in India understand that if they see a Quad story, they will get this globalist perspective of issues that are close to their own heart. And that's the best outcome as far as we are concerned, that people know what to expect from us rather than look for individual stories and say, oh, this one story sort of was particularly interesting or that one was particularly interesting. We've had a real nice mix of stories that have done well for us. We just hired a team. Our video team is less than 2 years old. We believe that video has a big role to play, but we want to do video in a very different way from most of... it can't simply be aggregation. It has to be... Just as our stories have a very distinctive Quartz identity, we're trying to create a distinctive identity for video. Our team is a little new, and so at this point, things are fairly experimental, but we've got together some very smart people and we're very confident that they will come up with something that people will instantly recognize as a Quartz product.
Shortly after its launch, Quartz pioneered the use of annotations in articles as an alternative to comments, and while they are still a presence, sharing is how the largest part of the audience interacts with this content.
We are a digital-first product, we are a mobile-first design, and we are a sharing-oriented experience. We depend, because we are new, because we are not yet a household name, we depend on our readers to share their enjoyment of our stories. And that's worked very well for us so far. Most of our traffic comes through social media sharing by our readers, through Facebook, through Twitter, through other sharing experiences. And that's all basically, that's how we've gotten to where we are. We are, sharing is essentially built into our design and built into the way we think of our business.
One of the challenges of starting from scratch and trying to be a global outlet is getting people to know you and offer them the type of content that they know they can trust. But sometimes, not having a legacy to hold you back can be an advantage.
The crucial challenge is, in any market, is to find the balance between giving the local reader an interesting take on something that is close to them, something that's taking place in their country or their backyard. So that's one part of the balance. And the other part of the balance is to tell them about what's going on in the rest of the world in a way that is interesting and relevant to them. Given the nature of our business, it would be foolish to leave all these things on the table. There is such a lot of opportunity around the world, and we produce a lot of high-quality journalism. Why should that not be available to an international market? The only challenge, there used to be two challenges previously. One was the distribution challenge. Thanks to digital, that challenge essentially is gone. You can, in a nanosecond, you can be read or seen if you're a photograph or a video. You can be consumed in Tokyo and Tegucigalpa and in Triana, all at the exact same time. So the distribution problem is gone. The only problem now, it's not a problem, it's a challenge, is how to tell stories in a way that are relevant to an international market. And even there, something new is happening which makes things easier. There is the evolution of a new kind of reader, a new kind of globe-trotting, post-national, internationalist reader. A person who may be born in one country, works in another country, is educated in third place. His spouse may come from a fourth country. His kids may be going to school in the fifth country, where geography is simply the thing that you fly over when you're on a plane. Borders don't mean that much to you anymore. And there is a growth of, there's the sort of creation of this internationalist attitude. We see that in the response to our stories, that our stories are having strong responses from around the world. They are not designed for any one geography, ethnography, even for one language. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you are smart about the way you do journalism and you recognize the growth of this new market, you can be a player.
The BBC is not only a player, but one of the top global outlets people use to stay updated on what's happening in the world. Its recent global audience figures of 283 million across TV, radio and digital stand proof. But Mary Hockaday, a controller at the BBC World Service in charge of editorial strategy for radio and audio, said there are some key areas where the BBC stands out.
Audiences in Africa, right across the continent, really do come to us in really big numbers. And again, that's in English, but also in the relevant languages. We also have big audiences in South Asia, but in East Asia, Latin America, and interestingly, actually in North America too. For World Service English Radio, we have one of our biggest audiences in North America, which I guess just goes to show that the appetite for impartial, high-quality global news really is there right around the world.
At the BBC, the approach is to start with the journalism and make the content shine across different platforms, whether it's through a traditional medium like radio or through social media.
We take a multi-platform approach to reaching our audiences, so we do look market by market. You know, overall, our radio is available right around the world, our digital services obviously too. Television, we are present in English and in increasing languages actually as well in many parts of the world. But we do target, because obviously there are some parts of the world, the Middle East, for example, where television, you know, really massive take-up, and we're there in radio, but television has definitely outstretched it. Meanwhile, in Africa, in many parts of Africa, radio is still a bigger medium than television, and really strong. Equally recently, we were looking at West Africa and wanted to reach as many people as possible around Ebola and the Ebola crisis. And, you know, the mobile phone is very, very widespread in Africa. Not always necessarily a smartphone, sometimes something really simple. And, you know, people don't necessarily have money for kind of big downloads, big video downloads. But what we did find was that WhatsApp was a very effective platform for reaching people with, you know, really simple but really important information to help in the Ebola crisis. In India, we found that as people and you know, the younger generations, the social platform take-up is absolutely huge. And as people, you know, as India modernizes. And so Facebook is a really, really important platform for us in that part of the world.
The BBC's aim is not only to inform audiences around the world, but also engage people in constant conversation, something largely achieved through social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter.
We get wonderful engagement. I mean, obviously, you know, social platforms really help with that. And a platform like Facebook, you know, obviously a first level is simply kind of liking, but, you know, we get people who really engage and contact us. You see that also very much through, you know, some of the other social platforms. We sometimes run particular, you know, digital Q&A conversations. We've done that on Twitter. We've done that on Reddit, where audiences are given the chance to engage directly with, you know, our correspondents or our presenters to really, you know, get into more detail with them about particular stories. But of course, you know, there are traditional ways for audiences to engage as well. And so on World Service English, we have a program, World Have Your Say, which is all about reaching out to people who have you know, real relevance to the story. They're living through it, they've got some real expert insight on it, and again, reaching and drawing people in, either, you know, talking over Skype or the phone, or their contributions from social platforms as well. So, you know, there are many ways for people to engage with us. Indeed, occasionally we even still get the odd letter.
This isn't to say that there aren't challenges that the BBC also faces when trying to reach as many people in different parts of the world. And these challenges can be anything from broadcast restrictions to poor mobile connectivity.
Of course, if you're trying to reach people right around the world, there can be a number of challenges, and they vary. You know, in some parts of the world, we are blocked. In some parts of the world, the regulation is very tight, which means that it's very difficult for us to collaborate with existing broadcasters in that part of the world and share our content with them in partnership. You know, in other parts of the world, it can be a more sort of logistical matter of, you know, can we get our signals and reach people? Is you know, satellite television able to reach in? What are the controls on people having satellite dishes and so on? And then, of course, one of the things that we're seeing is that not just online, but now mobile is is such a ubiquitous and important way that people are able to, communicate with each other, but also receive media and receive content. And we're just really realistic. You know, in some parts of the world, we know that our content is reaching people on, good smartphones with, easy access to Wi-Fi or 3G or whatever. But of course, in other parts of the world, and especially people maybe living in more rural communities in Africa, people may have phones, but they may be very simple. They may not be smart. Video download out of the question. But we're then really inventive, trying to work with for instance, local telcos for a really straightforward provision of audio, almost just like you'd phone a friend. You actually phone us and listen to what we're broadcasting to you. And we are very transparent about tariffs, and we really try to work on ways to have small data loads to enable people, even if they can't afford, big tariffs or have very big smartphones, still to receive the core of the news and the information that that we're reaching people with.
People want impartial and good information, and although there are a number of local or national outlets available in their countries, sometimes they are after a different perspective or a global view on what's happening, and this is where publishers should step in.
The world is increasingly globalized, and people, especially people in many of these countries with very young populations, people who are aspirational, keen to learn, hungry to get on, they are thirsty for understanding and knowledge. And we broadcast in particular languages, but also in English, because English is a lingua franca for information, knowledge, learning, business, so many of the things that people are hungry for. We really do believe that we offer something of real rigor, but also of real global depth and breadth. And we do that because we know valued by audiences abroad. But, of course, that's also all available to audiences in the United Kingdom. So people in this country who are, keen and hungry to learn about the wider world, we're one of the BBC stations, digital stations on your DAB, World Service English broadcast overnight, a sustaining service on Radio 4. Obviously, all our language services online and our English news content online as well in this country. And our global position strengthens our understanding of the world and enables us to have a really deep expertise, which we then can bring back into the journalism that is used and appreciated by audiences in the United Kingdom.
So whether they just want to focus on reaching people through digital platforms or across TV and radio as well, publishers should take a chance and tap into their global audiences. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.